There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
I'm Helen Farmer, and this is the Thursday Brunch Show on Dubai Today, broadcasting live from the China Court at Ibn Battuta Mall, part of Dubai Food Festival. And we are with you on Dubai Eye 103.8 until 2 o'clock this afternoon. As with every Thursday brunch show, it's by foodies for foodies. And I have a fantastic panel full of culinary expertise joining me on the sofa at Ibn Battuta Mall. First up, we've got Roslyn Pask, Executive Chef of Marriott by Courtyard in the Green Community. Also joining us, Head Chef at Cuisiniero Uno, John Buenaventura. I'm so sorry, I keep on saying this. And we've also got Lindsay Battles, development chef and blogger at IEatMyPeas.com. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Chef John, you are going to be feeding us later on in the show. We've got a table full of fresh ingredients, and I'm really, really looking forward to getting stuck in. But first, we're going to have a bit of
the latest food news.
Food news. Loads of food news coming up today. Food news doesn't really seem to stop. And actually today, it's International Women's Day. And we're lucky enough to be joined by two females of the foodie variety on the sofa. So happy International Women's Day, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Chef John.
I'm outnumbered.
You are hugely outnumbered.
But welcome to.
And you're a lucky man surrounded by women this afternoon. So we're talking about female chefs you need to know about. Rosalind, you've been a chef for how long now?
I think it's been about 15 years.
And how have you seen that kind of landscape change for female chefs?
Well, it's changed dramatically. When I started my career, I went to work for Angela Hartnett for Gordon Ramsay. So she was obviously the first female chef in the UK. And yeah, I mean, I aspired to her, being that she was, one of the best women in England at the time. It does inspire you when you have role models like anyone, and especially when you're female and you're in a male orientated industry.
And I think it's fair to say very male dominated,
yes,
really.
Yes, agreed. So you are outnumbered. But not that that stopped me or anything. I think, you know, if you are very passionate about food, doesn't matter who you're working with or the atmosphere around it, if you may, you know, working with children or whatever, if you still love it, then you're still driven to meet all your goals and push through.
So you're seeing more females in cooking?
I would say so, yes.
Or because of social media, we may be just more aware of them.
Yes, I would say both. I think that it is difficult for women, that's all I would say. I mean, especially being a chef, you have to work very long hours. Weekends are a given, and not every woman wants to do that.
I think it's a lifestyle thing, yes, as well. I mean, that's what you're talking about in the sense of the hours. And it was certainly something that I never felt that I could do working in a kitchen like you. I think you have to be a very, very strong personality to go up against all of the very strong personalities, male personalities in the kitchens. And I think, but maybe that's something that is changing, because there are certainly far more women on the scene. And I think maybe the, I don't know what you would say, Chef John, as well, the atmosphere in kitchens, whether or not they're changing, whether they're not quite so
aggressive, sweary,
because well, that certainly was what it was like when I started.
Well, for me, to be very frank with you, I actually prefer to work with female chefs. Well, not all of the time, but actually I do prefer, because they're very organized. You guys are very organized and very meticulous and very clean and very, very responsible, actually.
Oh, wow. You sound surprised. So well, that's what they say. If you want something done, ask a busy woman. So we've got a quick rundown. I'm going to highlight some of the female chefs that we should know about. Asma Khan is the owner and chef of Darjeeling Express. So high quality, authentic dishes. This is coming out of The Independent in the UK. We've also seen the likes of, and I really do like, Thomasina Myers, mm-hmm, who made her name in MasterChef. Lindsay, you've really kind of followed her career, I guess, coming from London yourself.
Yeah. I mean, she has been fantastic, really. And she's been inspirational as well, because she's done a bit of high street, and she's done everything, really. She's worked in restaurants, she's done high street, and she's been a writer. So I think she's a really interesting person. How she talks about food, you can clearly see that she's really, really passionate.
Yeah, and she has, you know, her column in Media as well.
Yeah,
and
it's kind great. Of does recipe she does creation. A real mix. I think she's very inspiring, actually, to people who are interested in food.
that might not even be chefs but are interested in food, and I think that's really important.
Claire Smith being highlighted in this article about women chefs. She's chef and restaurant owner at Core and was the first female chef in the UK to be awarded 3 Michelin stars and was head chef for restaurant Gordon Ramsay in Chelsea, aged just 29.
Amazing.
29, yeah. That's incredible. Seriously, exactly. Impressive. Zoe Ajinola, who's chef and author of Zoe's Ghana Kitchen, who I hear a lot about on podcasts, mm-hmm. And is really kind of at the fore of bringing Ghanaian cooking. She basically started a residency at Pop in Brixton. And then started doing bringing her home cooked food to food festivals, that, you know, family recipes.
Amazing
just,
idea.
You know, Tupperware and serving it up.
So I also think that, not as I said, if you don't want to be a chef, you know, there are other ways
of
doing
it. Avenues,
like you were saying today,
yeah.
Lindsay, you know, for me, that's what I wanted to do, stand in front of a pass and, you know, not exactly scream, but, you know, be in the thick of it all. But there are people, you know, like you, that want to do other things.
I think it's really important about making sure that people are actually passionate about food. You don't have to be a chef to cook and be a good cook as well. And I think that's really what we should try and concentrate on communicating to the next generation, for sure, is about just loving food and being able to cook. Well, you don't have to be a Michelin-starred chef to cook well.
And not a lot of people actually that's not their end goal. So where did you train, Lindsay?
I trained in Leith's in London. So I originally trained as an architect, and it was a bit of a career change.
Just a bit of a career change.
So it's basically just a year training, so it's pretty intense. But because of the fact that I'd actually already kind of worked in a different industry, I really didn't want to work the hours of being in a restaurant. So I always had in my mind that I wanted to teach or develop food. So that's what I went into. And then since moving here, I've had 2 children. And I think I really realised how passionate I am about just educating people and how important it is for that next generation. Just to grow up knowing where food's from and how to cook really simple things and how to know what's ripe, like, and how to chop it. And just very, very simple things. You don't have to be a Michelin-starred chef to cook delicious food
for your friends and family. I think kind of communal feeling. And we know with your blog, I Eat My Peas, I think that's what comes across all the time. It's about the sheer enjoyment of food. Yeah. And, you know, as a parent, it can be really exhausting cooking this for this kid, cooking that for this for that kid. And it can turn you off and it can become demotivated, I find, a lot of the time. What you make, I find, really successful are recipes that everybody can enjoy rather than getting really picky.
Hopefully. But even things like, parents always talk about just the day-to-day, like making a lunchbox. But my daughter today on the way to nursery was in the back of the car and she said, "Oh, Mummy, what have I got in my lunchbox today?" Just so excited. And I was like, that's it. That's exactly what I want. I just want excitement. It doesn't have to be crazy impressive stuff that she's excited about, but she's excited about the food and she wants to eat it, she wants to see it, she wants to experience it. And I think that's really important.
One of the best bits of advice I think you gave to me, so Lindsay and I met when we were pregnant. We met when we were both having our diabetes test done when we were 20 weeks pregnant. It was all glamour.
Yeah.
But about the kind of 3 simple things you can grab at the supermarket to feed your kind of weaning child rather than grabbing a pouch, which is really expensive. And it always saves them is avocado, banana, cucumber. Like, you can peel it, you can chop it, they can mush it. And just really simple things to have in your fridge or in, well, as most mums do, and dads, in the bag.
Yeah, it's just simple things as well that you don't need any cutlery or anything for, and they can experience it and they see where it's from rather than a pouch which they can't see anything from.
Do stay with us. This is the Thursday Brunch Show on Dubai i 103.8. when we come back, we're going to stay with the kiddie food vein and just find out what ingredients can help all of us sleep.
This is the Thursday Brunch on Dubai Today, live from the Ibn Battuta Mall for the Dubai Food Festival. More to explore.
Only on Dubai i 103.8.
Welcome back. It's the Thursday Brunch Show here on Dubai i 103.8. And we're live from Ibn Battuta Mall in China Court. If you do see us, we're up on the stage. Come and give us a little wave. You'll know us by the microphones, of course. But we've also got a fantastic table full of fresh ingredients. Chef John from Cuisine Uno is here cooking for us.
Hi, guys.
He's a busy, busy guy. I think he's just treating us because, frankly, it's International Women's Day and we've got one man cooking for 3 ladies. Thanks very much. Joining us on the sofa this afternoon, we have got Rosalind Pask, executive chef of Marriott by Courtyard in the Green Community, and development chef and family food blogger of I Eat My Peas, Lindsay Battles. Hi, guys.
Hiya.
Hello.
Now, we've got some mystery ingredients. This is to win 500 dirhams to spend at Cuisinera Uno. So, Lindsay, you can be my keeper of the clue. What's our first clue for today's mystery ingredient?
Okay, so today's mystery ingredient has a distinct smoky flavour and aroma, as it is dried by smoking, typically using oak wood. It can range in flavour from mild to hot to super spicy.
If you know what our mystery ingredient is this afternoon, get in touch 4001 with your guess and your name, or you can use the free Dubai Eye Messenger app, completely free to download, and then you can message us for nothing at all. We've got a little bit of food news, ladies, and I think, Lindsay, you've got two girls, I have two kids, and I think as parents, we're always interested in trying to get our kids to sleep a little bit longer, earlier, just to not wake us up,
whenever,
basically, at any given time. So we're talking about eat yourself to sleep, the foods that can help you get a good night's rest. Now, Rosalind, obviously as a foodie, I'm sure you're in the know about a few of these. You've got any guesses of ingredients that are on the list?
What about, nuts, I think, would be a good one.
Nuts are on there, poultry and nuts. Turkey and chicken can boost serotonin, so it's a good thing to eat before bed. Things like beans, lentils, cheese, tofu. Cheese is an interesting one because you think that's going to stop get the old crazy dreams going.
Yeah.
Bananas and leafy vegetables. Now, Lindsay, we do a smoothie for our kids every night with bananas and whole milk in a vain hope that they will sleep. So bananas, it's a pretty obvious one.
Yeah, bananas definitely. We always give them a banana if they're hungry before bed. Banana or a rice cake with peanut butter. They're our go-to.
Also
snacks.
On the list, whole grains, dark green leafy vegetables and potassium-rich foods such as bananas, potatoes, apricots and milk. Prebiotics are apparently excellent as well. Things like chickpeas, artichokes and leeks, which feed that good bacteria in the gut to help improve sleep. And fiber. It's always a good idea to have some fiber. So if you're suffering from insomnia or you want to get the kids to sleep, these are the foods you should be having. Now, we've got Chef John, who is cooking up a storm, and he's just presented us with a beautiful plate of burrata. Thank you very much. Lindsay, you've already tucked in. Can you give us a sneak preview?
Oh, my God, it's just incredible.
Really?
It tastes exactly, the tomatoes taste exactly as a tomato should taste.
Which is a rare and beautiful thing in Dubai.
It is. I actually think when you taste a tomato, and it really does.
But the burrata is so creamy. Oh, it is literally oozing out. It's beautiful.
And it is perfect.
And Chef John, what have you sprinkled on top of this burrata?
Well, the burrata that we have is actually, first of all, it's locally made. The tomatoes are actually grown in our garden.
In your garden?
Yeah, the basil is grown in our garden as well.
So give us a little bit of background. Tell us about the restaurant. Where is it and where's the garden?
So the restaurant is located at the Steigenberger Hotel in Business Bay. It's on the second floor. So the concept of the restaurant is more of like really a homegrown concept. We try to, our food philosophy is more of like we want to show people that you don't actually have to spend a lot of money to eat good food.
Okay, you know, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
I mean, the burrata is obviously generally considered to be an expensive ingredient.
Yes.
So this isn't necessarily an expensive dish on the menu?
Well, not really. That's why we focus a lot on local produce, people who actually grow stuff here. They make the burrata here in the UAE as well.
There's something in there that I haven't tasted before, and it tastes. Is it coffee?
It is coffee.
Is it really?
Yes. So what we do is for this dish, it's so simple that we actually just get really good tomatoes. We serve it in room temperature, so you can get the sweetness and the sourness of the tomatoes. We serve it with burrata. We put a little bit of dried olives on top, and a little bit of coffee oil.
It's such
just
an interesting combination.
Enhance the flavor of the burrata.
It really is. It just enhances everything. It just completely comes alive on the
plate. Such a bright spring-like dish. Rosalind, what's your take?
Oh, I love it. It's really nice. And it just gives it something different, doesn't it, with that hint of coffee at the end that you can sort of feel in your palate.
It's like a warmth, isn't it?
Mm.
Really delicious. Chef John, another plate has appeared in front of us. What have we got?
So this is called the fake carpaccio. Which
fake carpaccio?
Yeah, because it's fake.
What do you mean it's fake? I can see a plate of food. Why is it fake?
Exactly. So it looks like beef. It feels like raw beef, mm-hmm. but it's actually 100% vegetarian.
Vegetarian, but it looks exactly like raw beef.
So, and I'll wait for you actually to try it, because then you will get that texture of actually raw beef, but it's, I won't, tell me what you think it is, and then from there, let's see how you guys take it.
Okay, Lindsay's just taken a mouthful. It looks exactly like, it's that bright, vibrant red that you get with carpaccio. Okay, this is going to be crunchy, so I apologize for any eating noises that you
might
hear.
I'm not going to say my guess until we've all
had the game. That's a big mouthful. That's a big mouthful as well.
I know, I'm trying to do this one-handed. Right.
I didn't have a big enough mouthful.
Okay, here we go. Right. Rosalind, you have a go now.
Yep.
Mmm. That's delicious. But it's got the same texture as meat as well.
It is?
It's a bit crunchier, isn't it?
Yeah. We have the crunchy rocket leaves there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the...
So we've got...
That's the only thing that gives it away, though.
Yeah.
It's got more bite at the end than you get. So we've got the fake carpaccio at the bottom, and we've got crispy rocket on top. How's the rocket prepared, John?
Well, rocket, we just fry it until it's crispy, and then we dehydrate it. So, I mean, just to spiel the secret, the fake carpaccio is actually made out of watermelons.
No way.
It's watermelons. It takes around 2 to 3 days to actually make.
How do you make it?
So we vacuum pack the watermelon to get out that all those air pockets inside. We vacuum pack it with a little bit of Vimto. You know how the locals like Vimto? A little bit of Vimto.
Everyone loves Vimto in Dubai. It's amazing.
Yeah. We vacuum pack it, and then after that, we freeze it, we dehydrate, we defrost it, and then we smoke it. So it takes
the
a long process.
The smokiness is delicious.
Yeah. It takes a long process, and then.
What's it served with? We've got a creamy.
We have just a plain creme fraiche, some pine nuts, and a little bit of tarragon, and yeah.
How did you get this idea, Chef John?
Actually, it was by accident, to be very frank with you. I mean, one of my chefs accidentally froze a watermelon. The next day, it's like, it's really bad. And then we're like, wait, hold on. This is something really cool. Then let's keep on playing with it. And after that, we have a dish.
Rosalind.
We have a dish.
It's really, really nice. And sometimes, vegetarian food can be seen as being a bit boring and sort of not... not as flavoursome, but this is amazing. Got loads of flavour.
And I think often that if you're translating a dish that's traditionally meat-based into a vegan or vegetarian option, it can feel a bit token sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's actually not that interesting as a vegetarian or a vegan eating it. Lindsay, do you do much kind of vegetarian cooking home?
I do try and do quite a bit. It's one of those things you have to put quite a lot of time into, as we see here, a lot of time into finding ways to make it interesting, because it does need a slightly livening up. You need to look at things in a different way, and that's what I find really interesting about the food trends of more people looking at vegetarian food or vegan food, is it really makes you think about the ingredients in a different way, which I find really, really interesting, and kind of pushes you beyond.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and that's what I really enjoy. I don't stick to it exclusively, but I find the challenge really, really enjoyable.
And Chef Rosalind, you're based at the Courtyard by Marriott. Are you seeing more and more people coming in with vegan or vegetarian requirements?
Yes, we have. We've actually got a lounge that we've just launched, sort of more salads and sandwiches that people can just come and and have more variety, because I think people are becoming way more conscious of what they're eating, and you might not actually be vegan or vegetarian, but you might actually, some of them taste so good.
I can't believe this is watermelon.
Yeah, and it's also, but other things, you just think sometimes they can be so boring, like even chickpeas or something, but when you put loads of different ingredients into it, it suddenly becomes something else, and you're like, wow, and you don't need the meat or fish.
No, and actually, once you go back to your standard meat and veg, it actually seems pretty boring, like just a seasoned piece of meat, like well. But actually, when you look at the vegetables and the amazing ways that chefs are transforming them now, it's fantastic.
I can see Chef John is preparing another dish. I think it's not carpaccio. Could it be? I think it might be a steak tartare. We'll be trying it live on air when we come back.
This is the Thursday brunch on Dubai Today, live from the Ibn Battuta Mall for the Dubai Food Festival. More to explore.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome back to Dubai Today. You have me, Helen Farmer, until 2 o'clock, as I'm joined by fantastic guests for food news, views and more. This is the Thursday brunch show on Dubai Today, broadcasting live from the Ibn Battuta Mall on Dubai Eye 103.8. Joined by some fantastic guests here on the sofa. So if you are here in China Court, do come and give us a bit of a wave. You might recognise us by the sofa and the microphones, but also by the smell of some delicious food. Joining me on the sofa, I have Executive Chef of Marriott by Courtyard and Green Community, Rosalind Pask. I've got Head Chef of Cuisinera Uno, Chef John. I've got family food blogger and development chef Lindsay Battles of IEatMyPeas.com. And just joining us this very second is Chef Christo from Carluccio's. Christo, we've been trying some amazing dishes and you've joined just in time to taste Chef John's final. Chef John, what have we got?
Well, we have here our beef tartare. I think everybody loves beef tartare in UAE, but this one's, well, so we actually don't use primary cuts of meat in the restaurant. So we use secondary cuts of meat. So we use sometimes skirt steaks, and actually it's more flavorful. So the beef tartare, we actually smoke the meat, cold smoke the meat. And then we put a little bit of like mustard, some Worcestershire sauce, and we have that pimiento mayonnaise. So actually how you eat it, it's supposed to come with quail egg, but exactly. So you get a crispy basket, mix the tartare a little bit, put it on the basket, and then just go crazy.
Okay, we're going to hear some good crunching noises as Lindsay tucks into this. Can you tell us, you have an urban garden?
Yes.
At the restaurant. Are these little shoots there from your very own garden?
Yes, exactly. So the urban farm actually supplies me with my edible flowers, herbs, and actually lettuce. We're actually harvesting next week for the lettuce and the little rosos, the tomatoes and everything. So if you guys have time, come pass by, harvest with us.
Oh, something you know, you think about in Dubai in terms of, especially in a place like Business Bay, to have an urban garden where you're growing tomatoes and basil, edible flowers. It's a real accomplishment. So
it's really cool. It actually helps with the food cost of the restaurant. It's not a big impact, but it still impacts my food cost. Like 1%, 2%, it goes down. So,
Chris, we're going to give you why don't you have a little scoop of the cracker? That pimento mayonnaise is really delicious. Lindsay, what was your take?
Again, just spot on. It just, the pimento mayonnaise just brings out all of the beef, and I think it's fantastic actually that you're using other cuts, because again, it's all about just educating people that you don't have to use the prime cuts that cost arm and leg, and obviously then that brings down your costs and brings down the costs on the menu, hopefully.
And pay it pay it forward. And in terms of the cuisines that you're serving at the restaurant, how do you? It's a big range. You've got Emirati, you've got Mediterranean, you've got some Asian flavors.
Actually, it's the name of the restaurant, Cuisinero, actually comes from two words. It's cuisine and cucinero in my language. So it means you're the chef of your own cuisine. So we pretty much cook what we want to eat. So the menu changes every month, depending on what's available in the market, what's fresh on the local UAE market. And this is what we do. It's primarily influenced by Mediterranean and Spanish flavors. But it's actually pretty much, again, what we want to cook. And
I just want to ask you another question because it means that I can have something more to eat. So tell me your life history. No, really. What's your favorite dish on the menu, Chef John? What do you feel like is a kind of you on a plate?
Me on a plate. What I would cook for you guys that you'd really enjoy. I think the Palamos octopus. Octopus is a very, very tough one to see in Dubai. Everybody has their own version of cooking it. But for us in Cuisinero Uno, we've adapted the same style as Chef Jiro Ono of Japan, how he does his octopus. So we actually massage the octopus for half an hour.
You massage the octopus for half an hour?
Yes, it has a better life than most of us.
It's got a better life than me, for sure. Exactly. Did you massage it with an oil or salt, or is it just kind of on
just,
its own?
Just rock on, plain, simple massage. I don't know if it's a Thai massage or a Swedish massage, but we massage those tentacles until it's tender for half an hour. And then we cook it in a sous vide with some spices, and then we grill it for that nice and smoky flavor.
Wow, Christo, do you go to any lengths like this with any of your ingredients?
We don't massage octopus that much, but we do take care in what we cook, obviously. So
you've come from Carluccio's this afternoon. Thank you so much. We've got three dishes just waiting for us. How long have you been in the UAE for, Chef Christo?
I've been currently in the UAE for 1 year and 6 months. But firstly, I want to say congratulations on International Women's Day.
Thank you very much. Very wise to preempt that, Chef Christo.
But I've been here for 1 year and 6 months. Before that, obviously, been in South Africa for 3 years. But I did most of my career for 11 years in the UK. And then obviously got married, moved to South Africa, and then now I'm in the UAE.
And where were you in the UK? What kind of cuisine were you focusing on during that time?
I've been also with Italian, big Italian group that I spent most of my time with. It was amazing experience that I picked up that side. And it's probably from them that made me what I am now. And then going back to South Africa, being with the Italian group that side, I sort of missed the whole busy, you know, funness of it, and that's where I decided to come back to the UK.
What is it about Italian food that's really kind of captured your affections and imagination?
I think it's about family and sharing. You know, when you sit around the table, everyone really wants to have loads of little plates. And it's about the food that just speaks for itself. It's you're using less ingredients, but you can get the maximum flavor out of that. And that's what we try to strive as well here in the UAE, is to sort of just working with very less ingredients, but maximum flavor. And it's just a whole loving, sharing, family orientated thing around the table.
And what have you brought for us to try live on air this afternoon?
So I've got one of our signature dishes that we are currently doing in Calichos, and that's a prawn, a seafood linguine. It's literally just the fresh seafood, and butter, lemon juice, chili, and garlic. That
Yummy.
Really just speaks for itself. One of the other ones that we currently do as well that's very popular with the vegetarians is our pomodoro gnocchi. So it's homemade gnocchi with just Harridge's tomato, butter, and good olive oil.
So really are looking at those key Italian flavors and not much kind of frippery and extras, really. If what's your kind of number one Italian ingredient? If someone's trying to capture that cuisine, what should they have in their cupboard?
I would say in the cupboard, I would probably say good olive oil. Definitely a good olive oil. But for me, my most favorite ingredients, if you got it in your fridge, if you have anchovies, tomatoes, and a good olive oil, you can go far away with that.
Okay. Well, our foodie panel is tucking in right now. I see Rosalind getting stuck into the pomodoro gnocchi, and Chef John and Lindsay are, spearing
prawns. I'm not going to be feeling shy. I'm just going to go for it.
Just shyness this afternoon. So we're chasing live. We've got the seafood linguine. How's the pasta prepared at Calichos?
So pasta, it's homemade fresh egg pasta. We pretty much do it as order comes in. Everything that we do serve to customers is everything is fresh and a la minute done. We use the freshest ingredients that we can. We unfortunately don't have a garden where we can go and grow our own vegetables.
Yeah, I can share the garden. Please come
talk
by.
To Chef John, you can share
please,
our garden.
Please, I would love to have you there.
Definitely would be amazing. So everything we always strive for fresh, that's a way to go. These days, a lot of people try to complicate things, where we try to go back into the basics, where we just want to sort of use minimum flavors, maximum flavor, and minimum fuss. So that's our little motto called Mot, that we try to keep with all our new chefs as well that are joining us.
And what's proving really popular on the menu across Calichos at the moment?
Popular, I would say the seafood linguine does do very good.
Some really big prawns there, guys. Chef John, you've just tucked in some mussels and
I'm
prawns.
I'm a bit busy.
Okay, I'll come back to you
in,
later.
So.
No. Been enjoying it. So it's got a real kind of chili kick, it looks like, as well.
Nice.
So what seafood do you have in there, Chef Christo?
So inside we've got prawns. We've got fresh mussels. There's some calamari inside there as well. And that get all sauteed with some really fresh, amazing chilies that we get and our garlic as well.
We have got one minute for one quick mystery ingredient. If you'd like to have a guess, you could win a 500 dirham voucher to spend with Chef John as with his team at Quizno Uno if you can tell us what this is. Rosalind, your keeper of the clue.
Okay, the next clue is today's mystery ingredient is used to add colour to many dishes and pair well with rice, chicken, fish, egg, pasta, potatoes and cauliflower. It is a key ingredient to all... it's a key ingredient to Chef John's paella.
And he's pointing at the mayonnaise that we've had on the steak tartare. So if you know what that mystery ingredient is, give us a little message 4001 with your name and your guess, and you can win a 500 dirham voucher. When we come back, we'll be revealing that very ingredient.
This is the Thursday brunch on Dubai Today, live from the Ibn Battuta Mall for the Dubai Food Festival. More to explore.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I'm Helen Farmer, live with you from Ibn Battuta Mall on the Thursday brunch show here on Dubai Eye 103.8. It's Thursday brunch and we are surrounded by foodie experts and we've got a table covered in food. Everything from steak tartare to pizza, we've had gnocchi, we've had fake carpaccio, believe it or not, made with watermelon, which I have to say, Chef John has blown my mind this afternoon. We do have some food for you, though. If you'd like to win 500 dirhams to spend at Quizno Uno, which is Chef John's restaurant, Steigenberger Hotel in Business Bay, you just need to guess our mystery ingredient. Here's our final clue, Lindsay Battles.
Today's mystery ingredient boosts excellent anti-inflammatory properties. You can wear it as a facial mask by combining a tablespoon of today's mystery ingredient with 2 tablespoons of honey.
This will even out your skin tone as well as reduce fine lines and age spots. It also contains vitamin A and vitamin B6, which helps to keep your eyes healthy.
Learn something new every day. If you know what our mystery ingredient is, get in touch 4001 on the SMS line with your guess and your name, and you'll be entered into that draw. It's your last chance to win a 500 dirham voucher to spend. We've got Rosalind Park here from Courtyard by Marriott, who is lucky enough to try some of these fantastic dishes. Lindsay Battles, development chef and family food blogger at I Eat My Peas. And Chef Christo is here from Carluccio's, feeding us this afternoon. So what have we had?
So we've had a seafood linguine. We've also had the gnocchi pomodoro and buffalino pizza.
It's real comfort food this afternoon. I feel like it should be kind of raining outside and cozying up with some carbs. So thank you so, so much for that. Now, Chef Christo, we ask all of our chefs on the Thursday Brunch Show about their foodie fantasy. So what would your foodie dream come true be?
Foodie dream always would be awesome for David Chang to cook for me in one of his little really cool upmarket little restaurants down in New York somewhere. That's would have been amazing.
Just for you?
Just for myself.
Little table for one.
Just to have that little mind-to-mind boggling ideas from how he operates every single day. It's just like, I love the guy for what he is. He's a genuine guy. And it's like I said, if I go back to what I said earlier on, it's just about minimum of ingredients that the guy used. And it's just, you know, amazing flavors that he puts together. So, yeah.
And Chef John is joining us also this afternoon. And you've worked all over the world now. You've been Maldives, which was a fascinating career highlight. So you were cooking on boats around the islands in the Maldives.
I was fishing for the food that I will feed my guests at one point.
But it's a really interesting concept in terms of sourcing and the logistics and the operations side of cooking when you're on a boat. Because in theory, yes, you could run out of food, but you got the fishing rods out and were catching fish over the side to cook for your guests.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, their foodie fantasy might be doing something like that. So what's your foodie fantasy, Chef John?
If it's a matter of someone cooking for me, I would love Nigella Lawson to cook for me.
Oh, really? International Women's Day. Thank you very
much. Exactly. Like a one-on-one cooking session with Nigella Lawson. I would just watch her all day making her pastries and, you know, just drool on the food that she does. I love her.
What would you be in her house? What would she cook for you?
Anywhere, as long as she's there, she's cooking for me. That's the best day of my life.
That's a true fantasy, Chef John. Thank you so much. Actually, I want to hear Lindsay's as well. I'm putting you on the spot here.
I really don't know if I do have one. I would like for it to be acceptable for me to talk about food all day long, every day.
And no one judge you.
No one judge me about it. I think that's probably my foodie fantasy.
Oh, you just need to come on the radio more and talk to our foodie bunch.
Yeah, about it.
You know, Rosalind, I'm going to ask you. Now, you've been on the show before and you know the drill. You've heard lots of foodie fantasies, but have you ever thought about yours?
I think that I would take a couple of years off and go travelling around and really get into some, go to places that I haven't been or, you know, aren't so commercial and really see about just, you know, find out more about food, different ingredients, really get into the heart of it. I think that would be really inspiring and really, you know, give me loads to think about and what you can move things forward. So I think I'd do that.
Chef John, you talked earlier about working with people on kind of a real grassroots level. Is that something you've got an interest in terms of developing chefs yourself?
Well, actually, in terms of talking about developing chefs, to be very frank with you, the chefs that I have in my restaurant right now are actually my stewards back when I was in hotels.
Really?
So I took them over. They were working as stewards for like 3-4 years, and they were just not given the opportunity to show what they can do. And now they're running my cold section and my hot section, and they're amazing.
So you've really given them a platform in terms of education.
True.
Good for you. That's fantastic.
And the loyalty is there, and you know they know that they would stick by you no matter what. And
you know how each other work as well, right? You've been around each other for a long time.
Now.
So where did you train yourself?
I started really early, 17 years old, back in culinary school, Le Cordon Bleu. Then eventually, I worked my way up. I was too arrogant when I was young. I opened my first two restaurants when I was 17. It closed down.
17?
100% closed down. I was the most arrogant Filipino in Manila opening his hotshot restaurant.
What was the restaurant called and what was it like?
It was called Glass Wing Bar and Resto for some reason. Yeah, it was there. I opened it and it failed after 6 months.
And then eventually it's like a realization. That's why I flew to Dubai, started back from the bottom. Started from the bottom, now we're here, you know, something like that. Then you go up and then you meet a lot of people and then you just work your way up and realize a lot of stuff. I think school will teach you stuff that you won't ever learn by experience. So
we have been joined by a really fantastic foodie panel this afternoon. Now, Lindsay Battles of I Eat My Peas, you've been keeper of the clues this afternoon with Rosalind. And can you reveal what our mystery ingredient is?
It is paprika.
Paprika. We've had some really good and not so good guesses coming in on the SMS line. And I can happily reveal that Maureen, you are our winner this afternoon for a 500 dirham voucher to spend with Chef John and his team.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you'll be seeing awesome. Maureen for dinner, no doubt. I've been joined on the sofa this afternoon live from Ibn Battuta Mall by Executive Chef Rosalind Pask, Head Chef, Chef Jamie, Family Food Blogger Lindsay Battles, and Chef Christo from Carluccio's. Thank you so much for joining us, sharing your news, and most importantly, feeding us. I hope we've got everybody really hungry for a fantastic weekend ahead. Stay with us, Steph and Mark coming up on the ticket.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.